Hi, welcome back to another episode of the Mimosas with Moms podcast. I'm your host, Abby Williams. Today, I'm welcoming on Hila Bahari. Hila is the founder of Mama Guide. You can find her over on Instagram at Mama Guide, and you can find her on her webpage, mamaguide.co. Hila's goal is to inspire, educate, and support new moms by providing resources, tips, and most importantly, her firsthand experience. After Hila transitioned into becoming a new mom, she quickly learned that adapting to motherhood and the wealth of advice that came along with it was not a one-size-fits-all. So she created this platform that could connect and help mothers around the world. I get so much out of her Instagram page. I got so much out of this conversation that we had. I was able to walk away with some tips to put in my bucket as well. So I hope that you guys go give her a follow, go check out her guides over on her webpage, and I hope that you enjoy this episode. If you do, please be sure to leave a 5-star rating and review. Your support here always means the world to me, and I so appreciate you being here. So let's get started. Cheers. Hila, welcome to the Mimosas with Moms podcast. I am so excited that you are joining me here today because we have connected for some time over on Instagram. I love all the content that you are putting out for new mamas and just mamas in general. So Hila, tell my listeners a little bit about yourself.
Hi, thank you for having me. I'm so excited. My name is Hila, like you said, Hila Bahari, and I started Mama Guide about 3 years ago when my son was born. So he actually just had his third birthday. So I did a little bit after he turned three. So I have two kids. I have my son that just turned three this past Sunday. My daughter is 16 months, and we've been married just a little over 3 years, my husband and I. And like I said, I started Mama Guide a little bit after my son was born. I found myself kind of helping a lot of other new moms around me, like friends. And I'm a big like researcher, and I'm one of six kids.
Yeah.
So I always had like little nieces and nephews around me. I've always been around kids, babysat, like really, really into the whole baby world. From when I was really young. So I felt like I was always helping moms. And one day my husband is just like, you know, you're helping all these moms. Why don't you start something about this? And I'm like, what do you mean? So then I looked into everything and I decided to start the page. And one thing led to another, and it became this bigger community that I never expected it to be. With it, I started doing a lot more research and connecting with more professionals. And really enjoying my time doing it and learning so much more about like childcare, parenting. And, you know, I always meet all these professionals that maybe like they are feeding specialists or child psychologists or whatever they are. And I'm learning so much from them. And I feel like as a typical mom that's not maybe in the field, right, I wouldn't know all these things. So because of all the research I do and being able to talk to all these different professionals, my goal was really to create a space where moms can just come to and almost find something about this, like almost everything about the stage they're currently in. And it's not coming from, for instance, a doctor telling you that there's one way to do it. Because, you know, yeah, you go to your pediatrician and they always tell you their way. And then you talk to your friend and your friend has a different pediatrician and they tell them something else.
Right.
So, I mean, I have so much respect for pediatricians and so much respect for people that, you know, have studied and are, you know, there for people like us, like parents. Mm-hmm. But I feel like there's so much more than that. Like as a mom, you have your instinct, you have it firsthand. Maybe the doctor never had kids or, I'm just giving an example of a pediatrician, right, but in any profession really. And I felt like I can create this space where connecting with different moms and connecting with different professionals and being able to put maybe, the best information on there. When I say the best, I don't mean there's one way for best. There's maybe multiple. So maybe we're talking about, the best way to feed your kids. So I won't talk about like, you know, this is the best way to do it and this is how you should do it. I always try to think about or present it in ways that moms can relate whichever way they are comfortable with. So I try to refrain from saying this is the only way you should do it.
Right.
I try to kind of always present to moms like the different various ways and allow them to choose what works for them. Even when I recommend like a product that I have tried, I always try to try multiple things and say, you know, these are the things that I tried. And from what I tried, this is what I like most. But maybe if your child has a sensitive skin, you might want to try this.
Yeah.
So I really, really love helping people. Like even with my own friends, like I'll be on conversations with my friends for like hours, just helping them with various things. And I really find joy in it. And again, I'm not like a professional in a specific field, but I really love doing the research and maybe sometimes connecting with that professional and getting their insights and being able to pass that on to like a mother. And if I don't know something, I like to connect that person with the person that knows. So I'm kind of like, I think of myself kind of like as a liaison for moms.
Yeah.
And trying to really help moms in this journey, because at the beginning it can be so overwhelming.
And, it can be.
And like, imagine if like, I have a lot of friends that never had, like maybe had one sibling and it's like their older sibling or yeah. the younger sibling, and they've never been around kids and they don't even know like how a baby looks like. It can be like, it's like the baby is a new baby, but like the mom has never been a mom before. Right. So it's so overwhelming. So my goal is always to be there and help moms through this journey, whether it's with little like tips and tricks of, you know, like how to place a diaper so, you know, you don't get like poop all over your baby, or like the little tricks that maybe the everyday mom doesn't know, or like even a second time mom, like the little things that I can put out there, even if it's things that I'm learning from somewhere else, I'll always reference like where I learned it from, or if like I saw it on someone else's page. I love putting it on my page and the feedback that I get and the amount of moms that come forward and like say, thank you so much for putting this. And like, you know, I couldn't have done my first year without this page. It really makes you feel so good about being able to do that for other people.
Yeah.
And makes you want to do it more. It's, and one thing is a lot of people don't realize how much work goes into one social media page.
They really don't. It is like a full-time
gig. It's a full-time job. Yeah. Like sometimes my husband tells me like, can you take a break? And you know, like,
and you can't take a break because then the Instagram gods
are relying on you. Like,
well, then like the Instagram gods like punish you, you know, if you do take a break, and it's like, you know, then they like hide your stuff. I know it's a whole thing.
It's a whole thing. But like, I tell my husband, I'm like, you know, like if I didn't enjoy it, I wouldn't do it.
I know.
Like, I really enjoy it. Like, I look forward for my kids going to sleep, and then like I can catch up on like certain things that I've been like maybe researching or working on a guide. And like, it really brings me joy to do these things and knowing that I can help other moms. That's been like my highlight. It's like, it's kind of like my self-care. I feel like it's my thing that I'm doing and I really enjoy it. And it's like throughout the day, I'm learning from my kids, and then I can later take that and apply it and help other moms. And like my kids are in different ages. So like at this point I can help moms in two different age groups kind of. And I'm always, like, I have so many nieces and nephews that I'm with all the time, and I'm learning. And I feel like with kids, like when you have kids, you are constantly learning.
Yes.
So I have these like learning tools that I can help so many other new moms. And I love it. And I feel like kind of like my whole like mission was always like to help people. Even when I was younger, I was like, I'm such an organized person. And like when friends or family or my sister or my mom or whatever, they're like, can you come and like redo my closet or help me like declutter? And I was like, I was always the first person to do that. And like, I enjoyed it. So I feel like I've always been like enjoying helping people. And this platform allowed me to take it a step forward and really help people that I don't even know. And it's so nice. Like people from other countries messaging you and asking for advice. And if I don't know it, I'll simply say, you know, I don't know, but you can go to this person or this resource and get it from there.
And I love that, like, there's that collaborative piece on, like, the social platform, you know what I mean? Where there are so many different people in these different pockets of motherhood that you can connect with and you can refer to. And, you know, it's like, well, I'm not an expert on baby sleep, but this account is, you know what I mean?
Exactly. Exactly.
And I just love that. And I do love that your account especially is touching on all these different ways of doing it, that there's not just one way, there's lots of different ways. So Hila, let's kind of talk about what some of these shortcuts, these tips and tricks that you're putting out there are.
Yes. So one shortcut I feel like is the one thing, like, I've always talked to at first. I feel like when my kids were a little bit younger, I haven't touched on it. I should retouch on it. But and that's the annoying thing about Instagram is, like, you have to dig back to look for things that you have shared before.
I know.
But Instagram started this new, like, tab. Because my main information is Instagram. They started this new tab for, like, guides. So it allows you to, like, put all your all your posts in one place by categories. And I love that. And people have been telling me how much they love it because they can, like, look if they're looking for, like, starting solids. It's all there. So that's been, like, so incredible.
Yeah.
But one thing that I feel like is the biggest, like, I guess advice and shortcut I can tell moms all the time is being a minimalist before your child arrives. So I know, like, we are in this, like, wanting to do the nursery and, like, you know, we're in a nesting mode and we want to get everything. And, you know, we're even thinking about, like, when our child starts solids and we're adding all these things to our registry. But what we don't realize is there are always new things coming out on the market and they might be better. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing is your parenting method might change when you become a mother. So I, for instance, thought that I would be feeding my kids typical, like, before you're a mom, you kind of only know about baby food. Like,
right.
I feel like nobody that's not a mother knows what baby led weaning is, for instance.
Right. I figured out what baby led weaning was when I was Googling how to make my own baby food with my second baby. And then I, like, came across baby led weaning and I'm like, oh, well, this looks way easier. Like, I'm not going to sit here and make all this baby food when there's this way. And it has, like, changed our life to be able to do the baby led weaning. I know.
It's incredible. Listen, it's not for everyone, but, like, that's
but you're right. Like, all the products that, like, I didn't use because.
Exactly. On my registry, I had bought, like, this, like, pouch maker.
Right.
My kids have never had a pouch in their life. Like, I started introducing pouches when they were way older for, like, traveling, and I would put, like, smoothies in them. And even then, they didn't care for it so much. They wanted, like, a cup and a straw, like how I drink, you know? And, like, I got all these things and I'm like, I never even used it. Like, I ended up having to, like, either sell it or gift it or give it to, like, a friend that was using it. But your parenting method changes. You learn things as you go. So maybe, like, you buy all these onesies with buttons and then you realize, why did I buy those? Like, I need a zipper. So, like, being a minimalist is, like, the number one tip I can tell moms. It's like, you just get what you really need, or maybe the expensive things that you really need on your registry. Like, you know, diapers, wipes, and, like, not even, like, a ton of diapers and wipes. Just get what you need for the beginning. You might, like, maybe you're child has an allergy to these diapers.
Right.
Like, my nephew had an allergy to, like, 3 different diapers, you know, I had to go through so many of them. Imagine if she bought, like, thousands of diapers. I know a lot of moms on their registry, they put, like, thousands of diapers.
Well, and some people have, like, the diaper parties,
yes,
you know what I
exactly.
mean?
Yeah. And I feel like it can be such a waste. Like, just get, like, 3 onesies, like, you know, 3 shirts, maybe, like, just the bare minimum that you need for, like, a week worth. Imagine if you didn't do laundry for, like, a week or 2 weeks. And, like, with a newborn, unless they really have, like, an explosion, you don't even need to change their clothes.
Right.
Like, my kid would be in the same clothes for, like, 3 days because they're so clean.
Or you're, like, doing so much laundry, like, or you have so much laundry that you're doing it every day anyway.
I know, exactly.
That's how I feel like it is at my house we have a family of 6. So it's like, I do laundry every day. Otherwise, I'd be buried in laundry. So to have, like, you know, these extensive wardrobes is just unnecessary.
It's unnecessary. You have to put everything back.
You know, and then it's like, well, my toddlers, you know, they're only going to wear like their three favorite shirts anyway. So exactly. You have like this whole wardrobe that they're not wearing. I'm like, exactly. This was wasteful. I do. I agree. I think that this is an excellent point of being the minimalist. And I can think of like so many things that like I never used because like my kids were just weird.
Yeah, you really like a baby bath.
Like I never used a baby bath. Because like my, I guess like with my last three that are the younger ones, my oldest out of the last three, my 4-year-old, she had reflux really bad. And so like laying down was so hard. So like even in the baby bath, like she would just scream. Oh. So I would take her into the shower with me. Like that's how she got her, you know, self-cleaned for the first year of life. She took a shower with mom. And then like by time then the next one came, I'm like, well, I'm just used to doing this. You know what I mean? So then it was like they were both coming in where I had like the toddler who was standing and playing, I'm holding the baby, and it's just like a family affair in there.
Yeah.
You know, which is like nuts. I don't really know that like I recommend this because I'm also like sometimes, you know, we say that like showering isn't self-care, but like
it is.
Sometimes it's like a 5-minute break, you know what I mean? But then like I started the baby led weaning, and that can be so messy that then I really started doing sink baths, you know, that they just went straight from the high chair into the sink and I just like washed them off.
It's nice that you have an empty sink.
Yeah, you know, I'm like, you know, that's again another like family of six if I'm not like doing the dishes right when it's happening. It's just like a nightmare. But, you know, so yeah. So like I got rid of my baby bath before even the last baby was born because I'm like, well, I've made it this far without using a baby bath. Like I don't need this, right? So there's just like weird things that I feel like that happen in everybody's family, right? That like you just don't use all these products.
Yeah. Some of them you won't know until you try, but a lot of them like for feeding, like you have 6 months until you get there. Like you need to store these things. Like,
right.
There's no need.
Right. I know. I think that like the containers are like another one that we really go overboard on, that you have like a seat for everything in every single room of the house. And I love like following some of these accounts that really touch on like that you shouldn't be putting your baby in a container all the time and that's like
a touchy subject, I feel like, with a lot of moms. And that's the thing with social media. It's tough to talk about a lot of things because everyone takes things personally.
Right.
And it's really difficult. So I try not to like touch on it as a mom part. And if I could reference like maybe a physician or reference like a physical therapist that talks about these things.
I know.
And I think containers are a big, big, big one for, you know, like overdoing it. Because if you think about it, a car seat and a stroller are already a container.
Right.
And kids sit in car seats and kids sit in strollers. Right. And then when we add more containers to it, then we give them very minimal amount of time to be doing what they're meant to do.
Yeah.
And explore and move. And like, you know, the movement part of a baby, it's such an important part of their life and their brain development. You know, it really connects neurons and it really, really helps them develop and grow and learn. And when we get all these things, we really enable them from doing it. Now I know they can be very necessary. Like with my second, I've never really put her in any containers. Like it was a quarantine and we were home and she'd never even been in a car seat because we'd never drove anywhere. Like when she was born, she was like 3 months old when, 4 months old, I think, when the quarantine started for us. She's never like gone in a car. Like we've gone on stroller rides, like very little with her. So like now when we go in a car seat, she never wants to sit in there more than like 40 minutes. Like we've gone like on like a ride for a couple hours, like to another city, like overnight.
Yeah.
And she would go nuts. Like, oh my God. So I never really use anything with her. With my son, I had like a little rocker that I would put him on when he was little. Like when I would have breakfast, he would be like right next to me. And like, I would still talk to him. Like I would put him on my kitchen island on it when I was sitting there and eating breakfast and would have it together. And he would be able to still like look at me and like, you know, communicate with me kind of. But I feel like the blame is really for people that are marketing it, because they are
I know.
Really going after these moms that really need their time, and like they're marketing that to sound almost like this is the only way you can have a child and enjoy your life is like
right.
with these things. And it's so not true. And I've learned it with my second child, where like I really tried so much, actually with my first two, because he had torticollis and he really yeah. needed that movement. He was a big baby yeah. and he was born like with a tight muscle, and he really needed that movement. He ended up getting a helmet because he had a flat spot on the side that like he was tight on. And I did so much work with him on the floor. But with my daughter, it's like she's never even wanted to be in a container because I never even put her in one.
Right.
And the amount of things she's done on the floor, and she was always so ahead, like with her crawling and her rolling and everything, because she's been on the floor so much. So I was, so that's where like the minimalist part really kicks in. Like even with toys, like I never got too many. Yes, I always show on my page so many different things with your toy rotation, but a lot of it is gifted to me to try out and see like how we like it and if I can recommend it to other moms. But for like the really early ages, I never bought much. Like I would hang scarves for them. I would hang balloons for them.
Yeah.
So really I would make use of stuff we had. And I swear they were so content. They were so happy. And it just goes to show that you don't need so much being a new mom. Like you really don't need all the fancy things to make it. You know, you really don't need all these things that are marketed to moms. And I think like the baby industry is like one of the biggest ones. Like there's always new things, there's always new companies, and it's just like how many like nail filers can there be, how many like there's like so many of everything, there's so many of everything. It's like I feel like they need to like hold off for a few years with making new things for babies.
Well, and I love that like you really touched on the toy part, because I feel like there's so much research also around how when you have like too much, then it's distracting, you know,
exactly.
then they're not
yes.
playing,
exactly.
you know, then it's just like so overwhelming. You walk into the toy room, or you open up the toy box and it's just like completely jam-packed full. You know, they're like, well, there's nothing in here to do because I can't even like make sense of any of this.
Yes.
Right. And so I really do agree. I think like minimizing kind of what you have out, and that doesn't mean that, you know, grandparents can't like go crazy and spoil the grandkids. Right. But I think that that's where some of like the toy rotation that you just like touched on really comes into play. Can you kind of like tell us how, like what your tips around the toy rotation is?
Yes. So I would say that's another one of my tips for like a shortcut in motherhood for a lot of things, because A, it keeps your space so much more organized. And, you know, for moms, like if you ask a lot of moms, one of the things that they're most overwhelmed about is the mess around them. Because
I cannot do the mess. I know I cannot do it.
Mess. Like they can't help it. You know, like they pick up something and they drop it when they see something else.
Yeah.
And, when I would walk into, like my sister has four kids. When I would walk into her house and there would be like the biggest mess, I'm like, and my sister was the most organized person I've ever met. Like I have learned all my organizing stuff from like my sister. She's 10 years older than me. And she was like, her closets always looked like out of like you're walking into a store. Like
yeah.
she was so organized. And then she had four kids and she's like, you know, I can't keep cleaning up after them. So like I just let it be, and then I do it at the end of the day, and that would make me so overwhelmed. So when
I would like be a puddle in the corner,
I know,
walking back and forth like somebody save me from these children.
I know. And like when I became a mom, I was just I started this page of course, and then I learned so many different ways to do it. And I remember I took like a mommy and me class with my son when he was like 3 months. It was more of a class towards moms, like a lot, like very educational class. And one of the things they touched about was play and toys and like, you know, the minimalist part of it. And we were lucky enough to have like a room where I'm sitting in it right now, but we're lucky enough to have a room that I can create like a play space for my kids. And it was very important for me to make it very organized, because if my desk is a mess, if my room is a mess, I really can't think.
Right.
And when I'm stressed, one thing I do is I clean up. Like I like get into this like cleaning mode. So I created a really like neat space for the kids. And I put about like, I want to say 20% of their toys out. And kind of that's the goal. Like they say usually 20% or 20 toys out at a time. It really depends on the age as well. Cause like younger babies, you might want to put like just 10 items out and then like rotate them more often, like maybe once a week or once every few days.
Right.
But with older kids, like my son is 3, he builds on more, like when he has like his animals and then he has like a little farm and he has like, even like he brings the ice cream little things for the animals. So he really builds on it and create like his imagination with that. So with toy rotation, it's really important to have like designated spaces for things. So we have like kind of like the cubicle cabinets where I can really put like one thing in each cube for them. And everything has a home. So I even, so I like a lot of the Montessori methods. And I'm not one to follow one thing. I like kind of a mixture of things. So we do a little bit of everything when it comes to play. And I really like the Montessori method of putting things in trays and making them very like individualized and very easy for a child to grab and go and play. And then they actually put it back into the tray and put it back into their place. And that's a part of making like play really successful, cleanup very successful, and I feel like independent play very successful. So when I did that with my son from a very early age, I noticed that when he would see me like putting things back into those baskets, and I would say like inside every time we would put it, he really like enjoyed doing it. And now I see that with my daughter. And he's 3 now. He really, like, I tell him, don't forget to put the basket. Like, sometimes you have to remind them because they still get distracted. And I'm like, if you want to play with something else, let's put the basket back in the shelf. And he really does it. And sometimes he tells me, Mommy, we have to put this back. Like, he even tells me before we, like, leave the room or something. And now he tells his little sister. So everything has a home. And then, like, when I see that my kids are not playing with something, so I follow their lead. When I notice my son is not playing with something for a few days or maybe a week, and I know, like, that's not getting any love, then I'll replace that with something else, something new. If I notice, if it's been, like, 3-4 weeks and things are kind of dying out, or maybe like we want a little refresher in the room, or maybe I'm stressed and I'm like into this like cleaning thing. So I just like rotate everything, and I have a closet where like I organize everything like in clear containers. Everything is labeled, so it's easy for me to like make this switch. It's not like a 2-hour process. It's like probably maybe like 10-20 minutes, depends how many things I'm switching out for them. And I probably do it like the entire thing every like 4 weeks, and I still leave some stuff out for them that I know like they really, really enjoy, because you really don't want to take away from that. Like, there's no like rules to it, like take everything away and put everything new. You really want to follow their lead. So my son is so into trucks since he was little. He still plays with the same trucks since he was, I think, like 9 months old.
Yeah.
And some stuff are always staying out, and he's always going back to them. Like, he'll play with his animals and he'll bring the trucks to like put the animals in, or like the trains or the car. Like, he always plays with these things. So I don't take those away, because he still gives them love. He still enjoys them, and I don't want to take that away from him. Or like, they always love books, so there's always books out. And I do love rotating the books as well. So it's really about like building, following your child's lead, and putting out what it is that they're interested in, and also putting an emphasis on age appropriate. So there's a lot of things my daughter doesn't touch because it's geared towards my son's age. Sometimes she might like grab it and throw it on the floor because she's in that stage of like cause and effect, and that's what she does a lot. But she goes towards like the books or like the play kitchen and stuff that she really enjoys playing. And I really try to make the playroom kind of geared towards both of them. So there's a little bit for each of them. And when you have kids in different ages, it's a little bit hard, because there's also like the safety part of like choking hazards and stuff like that. But I feel like the more you like, I never really child-proofed my house. with my son. Never. Like, my cabinets were never locked. Like, nothing has ever changed. Like, it was the same, like, as if there's no kid here. Right. I'm not telling moms to do the same, but I feel like whatever we accustom our kids to is kind of like what they will know. Mm-hmm. With my daughter, she was a little bit more adventurous, and she opened the cabinets. She had broken a few plates. My son has never done that. She was very different, and we learned to do things a little bit differently with her. But when it comes to toys, she also did put things in her mouth. My son has never put things in his mouth. Like, I've done sensory play with him since he was a baby, and I never worried about it with her. I was always worried about it because she always put things in her mouth. So
I really believe in, like, birth order stuff sometimes. And, like,
so different.
It's the firstborn, you know, is, like, cautious and, like, oh my gosh. And then that second one just comes in and you're like, what in the world?
It's like a storm. But she has such a strong personality. It's incredible to see how different they are. And you learn so much from each of them. Like,
I know.
Like, you're supposed to be teaching them as the parent, but, like, you end up learning so much from your kids. It's incredible.
I totally agree. And it's always, like, just so interesting to me that, like, they both come from you, right?
And you're, like, doing the same things with them.
They're both, like, in the exact same environment, and they could not be more different. You're like, how does this happen? It's so interesting to me. I love it.
You know, I talked about this actually with my husband not too long ago, and I'm like, you know, even though they come from you, they're in the same environment, same parents, it's very different, because with my son, there was no one else around him. With my daughter, there is another person around. So although it's the same, it's really not the same, because being one, you know, being one and then being one with another person, like, she spoke a little bit later than my son, but when she started speaking, like, it was so different. And she was always listening to us speak with my son. And, like, for instance, we didn't read with her as much as we read with my son from, like, the very beginning.
Yeah.
But she was always listening to me talking to my son, because before, if there's no one home, it was just me talking to my son. Right. And now, even if there's no one home, she's listening to me talking to him, and I'm talking to her. So it's such different learning opportunities for both of them.
Yeah.
And that's why they're also so different. It's crazy.
It is crazy. And it, like, really keeps you on your toes, because you're like, you have to kind of cater to who they are and what they're into. You know, like you were talking about the sensory play that you were doing with your son at an early age, but then your daughter, you're like, well, I absolutely cannot do this with you.
I did a lot of sensory bags with her and a lot of sensory bottles with her, where she still did sensory, but it was very different. Yeah. And with my son, it was never a concern. He would do it, and he had so much fun. And actually, with sensory play, it really helped him with his feeding. He had a little bit of a sensitivity with different textures. Mm-hmm. And doing sensory play with him really, really helped him. Even, like, when things touch his hands, he was really sensitive about it. So sensory play helped us so much. And that's actually one tip that I would tell moms, is not to be afraid of sensory play, because it really, really, really pays off. Like, I can't emphasize, like, a lot of moms are like, how do you have time to do this? Or, like, are you not worried about the mess? And I'm just like, you know, just like anything else in life, whatever you put into it, it's what you're going to get out of it. And now my son is 3, and I can put a sensory bin out for him. I don't have to worry about, like, any choking hazards with him, because he's at an age where he is all about, like, exploring. He's not putting things in his mouth. He's not doing dangerous things like that. And, like, yesterday I had a whole bin out for him. I went to take a shower. I came back. He was still playing with it. He went and he played with a few other things, and he still came back to it. So it was almost 2 hours that this bin was being used. And it's incredible. Of course, with, like, a 1-year-old or, like, a 15-month-old, you don't expect a 2-hour sensory play.
Right.
But doing those things early on really build for later. And if your kid has, like, sensory problems, or if your kid has, like, feeding issues, which is very common, actually, sensory play is so incredibly helpful. And the emphasis on sensory is not just, you know, like a rice bin or like a pasta bin that we always see. Like, a lot of people always think those things.
Right.
It can be so many different things. Like, sensory is smell, is touch, it's vision. It's like, if you think about all the sensory, like, everything, there's so many different things that you can do. Like, you can create little, like, spice jars where like you're not creating anything difficult, and it's something that you can always reuse and put different scents in them, and like your child can actually smell, like maybe you're putting like cinnamon sticks in one, or like different things that are like your child can shake and smell, and you're working on different sensory inputs from just something so simple, and you can use it so many different times. And what I have a whole sensory bin of like the things that I can just grab out of the bag. Like each thing is in a bag. I grab it out, I put it in the bin, and then I add a few little things to it. And it takes maybe 5 minutes to put together a sensory bin for the kids and maybe 5 minutes to clean it up. And as they get older, they really help. Like my son likes vacuuming now. So like if he has a mess with the little rice, he cleans it up.
Right.
And it really, really pays off. So I would say like a shortcut for independent play and a shortcut for elongated play is really allowing these opportunities early on, and your kids will enjoy it so much. And I feel like that's almost one of the best ways for children to learn and also become independent and responsible. Like my child knows we have rules. Like if you want to play with the sensory bin, everything has to stay in the bin.
Yeah.
Once you throw, we clean up. If things fall, like I always have like a big, like it's kind of like it's not a sheet. It's actually a big table cover.
Yeah.
And we put that on the floor, and I'm like, if it falls on there, it's fine. You just have to clean it up, put it back in there. It depends like what he's playing with.
Right.
So I give him the space. I give him that yes space that he can do things in and explore. And we do have the limits of what happens if he's, I don't want to say misbehaving, but if he's
out of bounds.
And he knows, and he knows, and he said, like, when my daughter comes and grabs something and throws it, and he goes, no, Leah, no, we can't do that. Like, he knows the rules, and he tells her, and now he, like, leads the way with her, and it really creates responsibility. Like, he's responsible, and he's telling his sister, and you see these little things that they do, and you're so proud of yourself for, you know, embedding these these responsibilities in them from such a young age, and it becomes like natural for them to behave this way. And it, when you're giving them these opportunities to explore like this, you are really helping their, what's the word I'm looking for? They're independent. You're helping their, what's it called? Oh my God, I'm blanking out. My They're oh my God, totally blanking out.
No, but I totally agree with you. You know, it's like just them learning how to like be a person in the world, you know, like you're guiding them. Exactly. And I was like talking on my account recently about like chores and kind of helping like guide some of these responsibilities. Exactly. And it was like the exact same kind of conversation where starting early really like sets you up for success later, right? And I'm talking about, you know, the baby. My baby is 14 months and he's like kind of coming into his responsibility and some of these learning things now where like when we get home, we put away our shoes. It's the first thing we do.
Yeah.
And now he's wearing shoes. So, you know, like he comes in, he needs help taking off his shoes, but then like he knows like where our shoes go and he goes and puts them in. And his older sisters are like, come on, Fitz. And like, you know, they help like shuffle him along and like, let's go put away our shoes. And they're very helpful.
Incredible.
You know, and like a lot like you're kind of talking about with your son who's, you know, guiding the younger siblings. And, you know, because like they want to be the helpers and the younger people like want to be doing what the bigger people are doing. And I just like I love watching that, you know, and the cleaning up of toys, you know, and watching him now, like, you know, here he is 1 year old. And it's like he starts singing the cleanup song and here he comes, like he's going to start helping, you know. And I think that starting a lot of these things early, whether it's the independent play, the, you know, responsible, building some of these responsibilities, you know, it really does help you and your child in the long run.
Exactly.
So I love that. Hila, tell my listeners where they can find you.
So I have my Instagram page, Mama yeah. Guide, and I also have a website, which I launched this past July. So it's really yeah. new, actually.
Yeah.
And on my website, there are a ton of resources. There's a whole page of resources for moms. There's like different courses they can find that can be helpful for them. There are different nonprofits they can find that can be helpful for them. Like I even have information of like breastfeeding rules at workplace yeah. that people can just reference back to. I have a few freebies on there that moms can download and really enjoy. And I also have, I've created a few different guides with different professionals at very affordable ones that moms can just grab and learn so much from. So my website is really like a one-stop shop for moms where they can just load up on information and always come back to, because I'm always adding new things on there. I actually recently just started a blog as well by yeah. so many requests for like more information than what I just put on Instagram, because you have such a limited amount of information you can put on there. So I'm like kind of building on that on my blog, and there's a ton of information on there. And then if anybody needs a little bit more extra, there's always my email where people can email me for anything extra. But yeah, my website and my Instagram page. I'm also on Pinterest, but for mainly Instagram and my website, oh. which is www.mamaguide.co.
Perfect. And those will be linked in the description of this podcast. Hila, thank you so much for joining us today, and cheers to all your shortcuts in motherhood.
Thank you so much for having me. That was such a fun conversation, and I love following your page and learning so much from all your like little quotes that are always like really hit the spot. I'm like, how did you know?
Thank you for saying that. Thanks, Hila.
Thank you.